Recovering Queen, the Queen fan podcast, where we talk about and play the songs we love with Jay, Matt, and Ian.
Welcome to the Recovering Queen podcast, where we take a Queen song, cover it, chat about it, and discover the methods and the madness of the greatest band the world has ever seen, Queen. And with me, as always, are Ian and Jay.
Hello.
Good evening.
Right, so what track are we doing tonight, gents?
Rain Must Fall.
Rain Must Fall.
Oh, God.
Not a favourite of Ian's, by the sounds of it.
This is one that's got to be in the you know, in the running in every poll you ever see about, you know, the worst Queen tracks, and Rain Must Fall is always there.
Yeah, but do you know, I listened to the original version again today, and it's a production issue again, isn't it? Because it's a little bit like the Body Language thing in the fact that it's just super fun. As in, if you just take it as this utterly plasticky, kind of just silly throwaway song, if you treat it like that, it's all right. I mean, it has no gravitas whatsoever, does it?
No. For me, yeah, the production is appalling. You know,
it's horrible. It's horrible.
There's that kind of really rubbish anecdote about how Roger put loads and loads of percussion on and then they all took it off again. But to me, it doesn't sound in any way played.
Oh, but it's not played. All that stuff is programmed, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it David Richards?
It'll be David Richards. Yeah, David Richards.
So he's programmed it all. And then Rogers, I think, tried to put some percussion on the top, but then it's lost its open sound. Yeah. But it's that open, plasticky, fake sound that I think is so horrible.
Back in the day, I started making music on a Casio Tone MT-70 that had all that backing and the arpeggiator and the rhythm chords and the fill-in button. And you could press, you know, two buttons down to get the minor key. And it sounds like that they've got the Samba number one set with the chord arpeggiator to going. And it really has no place being anywhere near Queen. It's more John Shuttleworth for our international listeners. John Shuttleworth is a comedy performer, an old man who plays a bon tempi organ. And this track, to me, sounds along those lines.
I have a real problem when I listen to it because it always makes me feel slightly schizophrenic because I'm listening to it and I feel very confused because I can hear the melodies. And also, it should be noted that the verses are pretty much Candy Staten, aren't they? Young Hearts. You know, I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. I don't even know if anyone's ever said that.
Well, I wonder if they were even aware of it, but it's like one of those things, like as soon as it's pointed out, it's like, yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, I remember the very first time I played it, to me, it was like, oh yeah, it's that disco track, isn't it?
I'm surprised in this day and age that hasn't been kind of retrospectively...
Well, absolutely, yeah. No, that's...
You know, done a claim against...
Well, it may have done. I don't know whether you'd hear about it with a band like Queen.
Yeah, possibly
with
not.
With a band like Queen, it would be, they would receive the writ and they would deal with it.
So yeah, so you listen to it, you know that's a great melody anyway. That's a fantastic melody. And the rest of the melody is absolutely, for me, it's sublime. The bridges, fairy tale existence. It's such a lovely bit of melody. And I think, wow, I love this melody. And then like you two were saying, you've got this sort of bon tempi crap going on in the background. And you're going, why do I feel weird about listening to this really lovely song? And it's like, yeah, it's this background stuff. It's these, it's like being on a cruise ship and you can't get off. Going round and round and round in circles for me.
Absolutely. And now to not backtrack on what I've said before, it's I couldn't hear past that at all. I never have, you know, I've always skipped that track. But hearing your version, Jay, it's like, oh, hang on a minute. They've done it again, haven't they? Mm. They've got this bass quality of great songwriting. And yeah, you're right. That fairy tale existence melody is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Freddie's performance is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's just John Deacon is just, and we've said it every time we've talked about John Deacon, his ability to write really good pop melodies and have no pretension in the song whatsoever. Unfortunately, the production really lets it down. I don't think any of us are a fan of any parts of the production of The Miracle as a whole, are we?
It's a difficult listen, isn't it? The Miracle is very, very odd production, the whole thing.
I think it's because said that they were going to go back into the studio and go back to their roots. You know, this is, we're going to go back in and record an album like we used to. And then they just abandoned that because Brian's busy with Back to the Light. Roger's busy with Shove It. Freddie Mercury's busy with Barcelona. And John's apparently busy going on skiing holidays. So it's like, that's it. They're never in the studio at the same time as each other. So of course, Roger's off doing a tour of Europe with his band.
The Cross.
Yeah, with The Cross. And then it's, and so Freddie's gone, oh, David, can you program some drums for me, some percussion?
Right.
And then it
that makes
and
sense.
And then that's the groove of the song. And then, well, yeah, the Miracle really misses that actual band performances. And when it does have a band performances, like, was it all worth it? It's like a holy moly, that's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the best Queen songs ever.
Yeah. It's like night and day, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the rest of the most of the production on The Miracle is so sterile, with nothing going on whatsoever emotionally.
So who wrote the lyrics that on Rain Must Fall? Is that John or is that Freddie? Because they're pretty clunky at times.
Yeah, it's a collab, isn't it? It is like Cool Cat. This track, it's a collab between John and Freddie.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I'd found it particularly difficult. What was it? Something about you bully me with property and finance.
Property and finance.
It's like, ouch.
I understand the lyric though. It's a kind of
magic.
It's a crashing down of reality, isn't it? It's like saying, you know, you've got this ace life, but even though I'm Freddie Mercury, even though I'm John Deacon, I still have to get my gas bill and I still have to sort it out and I still have to sort out this and I still have to sort that. You know, there's always a little bit of rain, even in my ludicrously sunny life. In a way, I quite like the lyric, but and it's definitely deliberate because it's so hard to sing, I would have thought.
To me, they could have spent a little bit more time on those because it doesn't scan. And there's that other one as well where you need to share your opinion on it. And it is like,
the idea that life goes up and down. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, the meaning. Yeah, the meaning of it is fine. They just need to spend a little more time. And, you know, from what we can judge from what was going on in their lives at the time, they chose perhaps not to spend the time on it.
We're not even covering the weirdest bit of the lyric, and that's the calling out of Florence Joyner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like literally going Flojo, you know, and it's written Flojo in the lyric sheets and things like that. Mm. So it is a call out to Florence Joyner, the disgraced female athlete, who wasn't disgraced at the time, I seem to remember. I don't know who she was. Well, it was lots of rumours going, around that she was a drug cheat.
She suddenly went very fast, didn't she? That was her thing. Like in a short space of time.
Yeah. Her record is still by far the fastest female sprint, and nobody really takes it seriously anymore because it doesn't seem achievable. And she died young from
what?
from abuse of steroids, one would assume.
But yes, it's weird, isn't it? Calling out. I suppose that is that Freddie just being just again, you know, his fried chicken moment.
It does seem an odd one. Because maybe it is because Flojo was in the news at the time. And it's like, you're the stellar athlete, fastest woman in the world, but there's this little rain in your life of and I'm supporting you because I'm Freddie and I'm in the same boat.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
I've got the same deal.
It could be.
So I don't know, it might be a shout out on that.
Mm. For me, the property and finance bit really is Freddie's breathalyzed moment. You know, it's like, why are you singing this at this point?
Well, maybe it's one of them's had problems with their mortgage. Maybe maybe John's defaulted on his mortgage.
It's them taking
the
mickey out of John. It's like his mortgage broker's giving him a really hard time. And I don't know.
For reference listeners, listen to the podcast of Don't Lose Your Head to get the full context of that last couple of sentences. Another thing I object to on Rain Must Fall is how into the track they all must have been, because it's long, it's got two guitar. Well, it's got the main guitar solo, which is pretty handy guitar solo to give Brian his.
I really like the solo.
It comes back, doesn't it? He starts doing all the guitar orchestrations again at the end. I mean, isn't the whole track? Isn't it? It's over 4 minutes, isn't it?
It feels longer.
And for such a throwaway bubblegum piece of song, you'd think just rattle it out for a couple of minutes. Mm. A bit like they do on the same album with My Baby Does Me, which is another track we very much need to discuss as a potential contender for, you know, the low quality that Queen went to. But at least that one seems half finished. But with Rain Must Fall, they dotted the T's and they crossed the I's, didn't they? You know, they really, really finished it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It just feels throwaway and plasticky. And some of the percussion is really inappropriate as well. It is like presets. It's like Calypso presets coming in. And it's like, actually, is this even appropriate for a band like Queen to be doing? It doesn't seem, somehow doesn't seem right.
But I think what Jay's version has proved once again, that deep down, these guys just know, they know melody. They know, you know, how to put a song together, and it's really shown me the quality beneath the song that's buried in there. Obviously, I think we'll probably get comparisons, or Jay, you'll probably get comparisons with Hallelujah. It's got that feel, hasn't it, of the reinterpretation of the Jeff Buckley, Leonard Cohen Hallelujah version, obviously.
Well, I mean, that was what the weird thing was. It's like, I must have tried 10 versions really trying to get it, because that's how it sounded to me, was, yeah, Buckley's version of Hallelujah, but obviously without the incredible Cohen lyrics. And that's why and I'm not going to say it, this is the last time I'm going to say it, but the bullying me with Property, every time I went to do it, it stuck out like a sore thumb. And I thought, well, you just can't do it like that. So in the end, I tempered it a little bit and introduced a little bit more instrumentation, because I didn't think it was quite just one vocal and one guitar. But yes, absolutely. By the time I'd done the first run through, it was like, this really is a really lovely song in here. And you know, and now I go back to it, and with so many of the tracks, now I go back to it, I hear it differently. It's incredible.
Absolutely,
I hear it as the song that's in there, rather than I just sort of ignore all the sort of unnecessary rhythmic bits or bits that I don't like, or the keyboard bits that I find a bit superfluous. I just ignore that now, and it's not such a problem.
If Freddie had just done it, him and the Bechstein, that song, it would have been beautiful. Yeah. Would have been, you know, a total highlight on the miracle. He'd keep it exactly the same. Just the same melody, same lyrics, just him and a piano. Absolutely beautiful song. The way they've done it, just horrible.
I think back then, trying to recall the feelings of an era there, I think it would have been seen as something like a backward step to just have Freddie playing piano and doing that. It's a bit like when Rod Stewart, only a few years later, was releasing things like the American Songbook, and everyone was like, oh, groan.
Yeah, but hang on, that went through the roof in sales, didn't it?
I know, exactly.
Exceptional timing on Rod's part, that
was. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I think
who could have possibly foreseen that?
Well, they didn't, did they? I mean, yeah. So it's just like, but we've said this before, haven't we? Imagine if Freddie had been given the opportunity to do what Rod Stewart did, and do, you know, Freddie Mercury and the American Songbook, or one of the, you know, an equivalent of.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, yeah, it'd be absolutely amazing. Mm. But we never got it. It's an absolute, I mean, for me, it's like the songwriting of Queen never goes down in quality, does it? As in, their songs remain high quality. So they're always good songwriters.
Yeah.
But on The Miracle, they're not a very good band. The only time they're a good band is on Was It All Worth It? But the rest of it is like, are they really? They're not really a band, are they? They're just a bunch of songwriters who have kind of cobbled together versions of the songs and called it a Queen album. That's at worst. I mean, that is being a little bit
harsh. Do you think that the whole Miracle then, because I mean, this was the album when the miracle happened, and they're all fused together in their songwriting. Is that just some marketing sort of stuff going on there?
Yeah, it totally is, isn't it? I guess in some ways, The Rain Must Fall is kind of poignant. It's they're all having fun, but they must all know that there's something horrendous on its way. Mm. So it's a bit of an odd one. I've got a real odd relationship with the entire Miracle album.
Mm. No, likewise. It feels weird, doesn't it? I mean, what I noticed was, you know, we were doing an album, weren't we? We were looking at an album. We went through the catalogue, and it got to this album, and I just did not know what to do. And I would look at each song and I would be none the wiser. I mean, it was such a difficult album to come up with. For me, to come up with a cover in any way, shape or form was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. No, it was difficult, but yeah.
Yeah, it was very difficult. There's no kind of obvious ones to choose, is there?
I mean, what are you going to start? Yeah, Khashoggi Ship on your own in your bedroom? I had a good night jamming away.
That would be a bold choice.
Just going perpendicular for a second, you know, there's a software, isn't there, where you can sample someone's voice into it and then it can replay you speaking. You heard of this?
What, deep fake?
Maybe, yeah. I'm just thinking, that possible to get, you know, Freddie, the stems of Freddie singing? No,
absolutely will be. I mean, well, it's not just will it, it is now possible. If you took Freddie's stems, put them into this deep learning machine algorithm, yes, you could deep fake Freddie.
So Freddie's songbook, the great songbook...
Could be done, yeah, I guess so.
Oh God, the legal ramifications there, my God. Because if you just released it on the internet and said, listen to this, and everyone said, well, it sounds like Freddie Mercury. And so, does it? Does it really? They couldn't
touch
it.
It's not Freddie.
It's not Freddie.
No, but I think I think there is going to have to be some kind of changes in law when it comes to the deep fake thing. Well, as long as you're not selling it as Freddie, as long as you don't mention Queen and Freddie, but it is Freddie. It's definitely a new field that's opening up. It's a little bit like Brian May performing some of the songs now with a projection of Freddie. It's all new territory, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and you think this is new territory now. What's it going to be like in 20, 30, 40 years?
Not even 20. I think this is the big, I think over the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to see lots of shit in this arena. I think this is going to be this is one of the sort of big things that's going really fast right now. It's an odd album.
It's very produced, isn't it? It's very cut and paste. It's
overproduced.
Overproduced, yeah. Right. You know, the digital method in the studio is convincingly possible by this time, was it 88, 89? Mm. So they've got the technology that they can really put that bit that they've always wanted to be in the middle of that bit and tag that bit on to that bit. Mm. And it's now seamless, whereas before it, you know, was very, very difficult for them to achieve that. And they've gone to town.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's a bad production, but I think Jay's version, it has absolutely brought out the sort of good song elements to it. You can hear a song that wasn't there before or was hidden.
Yeah.
So the search goes on for a poor Queen song. Please do tune into future podcasts to see if we ever find a Queen song that is truly unworthy. But here it is, Rain Must Fall.
I can see it in your stars. Life is so exciting, acting so bizarre. Your world is so inviting, playing really cool and looking so mysterious. Honey, your everyday is full of sunshine, but into every life a little rain must fall. Anyone who imagines they can blind you with science, bully you all over with property and finance. You have the position to call the shots, name the price. You found success and recognition, but into every life a little fall. Others seem to think you are over-dramatizing problems at work, so it's hardly surprising. There's little you can do to alter their opinions, honey. You want a clean reputation, but now you're facing complications.
Rain must fall. Rain must fall. Rain must fall. A little rain must fall.